Well, welcome back to another episode of the TACCast. We are the podcast home of theadultgamer.com, a group of adults from all walks of life who enjoy playing video games and keep on doing adult things. I am your host, Fenrir765, but most just call me Finn, and I'm with the Honorable Judge Optimus Fett. Sir, how are you?
I was going to try and do the People's Court music, but I didn't want to get his copyright struck, so I'm doing good, Finn. How are you?
I dropped the honorable because, you know, the FTC versus Microsoft finally got its day in court for the injunction hearing, that is. And as we don't know anything yet, I do know that whether it gets blocked or not or what, I think Microsoft should buy the rights to the Borderlands movie and release it for us to watch.
Right? Yeah, let's do it.
I think that's the logical course of action here.
Yeah, that's the only course of action.
So, yeah. Well, I am doing well, though. It's been a busy few days. I am getting to play stay-at-home dad with my kid. It's been a blast. I'm having fun and enjoying it. And it's just
so that wasn't you grinding on Paw Patrol?
Dude, no, that was my kid. I was knocking out some show notes, and I was like, you want to play some Xbox, little girl? And she goes, yeah, dad, I'll play some Paw Patrol. And I was like, let's do it. And she's getting better. Like, she's actually like figuring things out. So that's cool. She's just not naturally gifted with video games like her old man yet, but I'll get her there. I'll train her. I'll get a Rocky montage up and going for her, you know, get the thumbs working. So yeah, anything interesting in your side of the world?
No, just it's that time of year where it's fucking hot.
I mean, it's disgustingly humid here now, so I had to do some yard work this morning, and I hated every moment of it. But all right, sir. Well, tell me what you've been playing. I mean, you've been grinding hard.
Well, I have my wonderful PS5 to play, and I'm enjoying games on there. I finished the Spider-Man remaster. That was one of the best adventure story superhero games I've ever played. Great story, great acting, great gameplay. I didn't even do everything. There's a ton of side quests and some DLC, but I was like, you know what? I'm gonna take a break now and play something else. I may go back to that one, or I may just do Miles Morales later. We'll see. But it was a great ride. Phenomenally awesome game. If you ever get the chance, I think there's a PC port also. Definitely check it out. I started God of War, the 2018. It's not a reboot. It's a reimagining, but it's takes place after all of the original God of War games. So it's the same character. And I didn't know what to expect. And playing it now, I get it. It's God of War, but a Metroidvania. Like, it starts you pretty linear, and then it opens up these areas. It's not an open world game like Fallout or Skyrim. You can't just walk end to end. There's areas you can go to, and then you have to come back to areas once you get something else that unlocks this thing to open this other thing to get you through this magical door to take you to this magical realm kind of a thing. But it's really cool, great, again, phenomenal graphics and amazing voice acting and storytelling. There's one thing I'm noticing with the first-party PlayStation games is that they seem to emphasize really good storytelling and high production values for the voice casting and the motion capture. It's pretty insane, pretty good stuff. Diablo 4... I'm working on grinding out my rogue. I finally got a glyph that's worth a shit, and I can survive on these pretty high level nightmare tier dungeons. I haven't hit 70 yet to do the tier 4. We'll get there. Street Fighter 6 still playing. I had a blast with the X Defiant open beta. And so did our buddy McSwitch, and we were lamenting that we can't wait for that game. Because we're kind of tired of the craziness of all the kill streaks in Modern Warfare 2 PvP. And when we were playing Diablo talking about this. And then I was like, you know what? I bet if we played Modern Warfare 2 in hardcore, there's probably a lot less kill streaks. And I tested that theory out. And that's exactly true. And I had so much fun. It actually makes Modern Warfare 2 way better playing it on hardcore.
All right.
I Yeah, it's a lot more fun of a game. There's a lot less bullshit going on. There's a lot less fucking crazy bunny jumping, spazzy, dual wielding akimbo auto machine pistol shit. It's way more tactical. You die a lot, but it's never like bullshit. And when you shoot somebody in the head in that mode, they die instantly.
Yeah.
So if you still have it installed, it might be worth giving a shot if you're craving some 6v6 action. And you're not feeling Resurgence or Battle Royale, check out Hardcore Mode. It's pretty good. I'm really enjoying it. I had a blast with that today.
Yeah,
What about you, Finn?
I just like I'm not trying to shit on anybody's pizza here, as you like to say, but I got noped out of the Modern Warfare 2 PvP pretty quickly. It wasn't doing it for me. Like, there was nothing wrong with it per se. It just I wasn't
No,
finding the
sure, I get
fun
it.
with it. So, but yeah, the I'm excited to see what the X Defiant is gonna be.
I had a
Once it comes out,
blast. I think if you liked Cold War, I think you're going to like X Defiant a lot. It's a very similar feel.
I really did
Very
like Cold
similar.
War, so I'd be
Yeah, it
excited.
feels a lot more like a Treyarch game by a miles.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to when it finally goes into full release. I'm just, I don't know, the modern day shooter, like Call of Duty style, the current day weapons and things, like it, I don't know, just the more twitchy the shooter, the more I'm like, yeah, I just don't know if I feel it, but whatever, like it's perfectly fine. That's just me. It's a me thing, and I get it, and I'm not trying to knock it for anybody else's sake. But I've been dabbling more with Halo Infinite. I may be talking out of both sides of my mouth in this. I understand that, but I still am really enjoying it. I like the just kind of the feel of Halo more than the feel of Call of Duty at this moment. I did roll credits on Diablo 4, and the story is fantastic. I absolutely enjoyed it a lot. I had one minor like wish that I was gonna have a choice at the end of the story, but the way that the story,
Right. I thought the same thing. I
yeah.
was like, why didn't they let us choose that?
But the way the story unfolded, it was a good payoff. I felt like
Sure.
it still worked out, but it was cool. I'm looking forward to seeing what comes next in the storytelling. So, because it's definitely, there's definitely a bigger story to come. And they if you're paying attention to the tea leaves, you can kind of see where things may be going next. So I'm excited to see what comes next in Diablo.
Which they're gonna unravel during the seasons, I think, or
The seasons aren't
yeah, we'll
supposed to be
see.
any major stories. Like, they may be like very,
Side stories.
yeah, that would be very specific to whatever like region or area, but I don't think there's gonna be any overall world building story with the seasonal stuff. So that will all link back to the expansions that will eventually, the two expansions that are supposed to come. I will say though, I don't think this game is going to have the staying power that Diablo 3 had and Diablo 2 and 1, where you're just grinding out loot and, just chasing numbers in a way. And maybe that's because I played a druid, and the druid seems to be the more like heavier class that's a lot slower, not as just pounding and destroying things. You can get that with certain builds I've seen, but it's not, it's a very different type of class. And maybe that's just like me. Like, I just felt I was very tanky. I didn't really die a lot. I also wasn't putting out a huge DPS, so it was taking longer to kill many things. But I still had fun. It just got to the point where I just don't feel like chasing, nightmare level 15 dungeons or whatever they're called. I just haven't dove too deep into the end game. So I just, those of you that are
It's a
doing
little
it,
bit of a slog.
yeah, that's what I keep hearing people say. And I'm like, I just don't know if I can do that. Especially with so many games that
Well,
are coming out here soon that I know I'm gonna
right.
be into. So.
I'm slowly working on it with the, first character I made. I bought the ultimate, so I'm going to get the season one pass. I'm going to make another character for that. And after that, we'll see if I play it as much. But I kind of feel like you do. I don't know if I'm going to play this one as much as I did Diablo 3. And I played Diablo 3. I mean, I bought Diablo 3 twice. I had the 360 version, and then I bought the Xbox One version.
Yep.
And I played a shit ton of the Xbox One version.
Yeah, I played it on PC and then played it on Xbox when it dropped with the Ultimate, like, Nightmare Edition or whatever that came with the expansion. And this is, like, maybe a topic we can get to another time, but to me, it just felt more the same in so many ways. I think the carrot on the stick for me to play the game was the story. Like, I wanted to get to the end of the story. I wanted to see what would happen with Lilith and Inaris and, you know, all the other big characters that you meet throughout that story. I was excited to finish the story, but once the story ended, I was kind of like, I don't have that carrot on the stick anymore, and I'm not really feeling the gameplay loop at this moment. So it just felt like Diablo 3 in so many ways to me. Like, they refined it to be better in a lot of ways, but it didn't stand out enough for me to have a new gameplay loop, if that makes any sense. So
sure.
But yeah. I have been just having a blast with the new update to Hunt Showdown. Me, Warlock, McSwitch have been back in the Bayou. They added a thunder shower, where it's just raining on the map, and the rain can get heavier throughout the match, and it can get lighter. It messes with your visibility, the sound, and they added a new wild target boss, which is a giant alligator in the swamp that you have to kill. And it's just been a blast having fun. And I posted a clip in our competitive channel where I nearly took McSwitch's head off in a gun battle. That dude is wily. He's always moving around, so you got to account for him when you're trying to take on other players. So, yeah, you know, I just love that game. It's fantastic. But that's it for playing games, man. So if you want to get on the show, if you want to talk video games with the honorable Optimus Fett or myself, just give us a shout out in Discord or on Twitter. We'll get you on here as soon as we can and have a good time talking. But now it is time for the news. And it really hasn't been a very heavy news cycle other than the FTC versus Microsoft. And I just had a couple quick things that popped up from that I thought were interesting. They talked a lot about the exclusivity of things and talked about why they bought ZeniMax ultimately because of the timed exclusive deals between Deathloop and Ghostwire Tokyo and the rumored
and Starfield.
Well, the rumored exclusivity with Starfield, and Microsoft was like, or Xbox was like, no, we can't lose Starfield. So they just bought the whole studio, right? Well, in doing so, they bought Machine Games, which Machine Games had a deal with Disney to make Indiana Jones. And there's not a lot of details about what this game is going to be per se, but it is now a complete 100% Xbox exclusive because they amended the deal. And this has been like reported by like a ton of people, but through the trial, this came up that essentially they went back to Disney and renegotiated a deal, and I'm assuming paid a lot of money to Disney and said, nope, we want Indiana Jones only on Xbox, or if it was an exclusive to PlayStation or whatever. I don't know. It was interesting. So quick question for you, Hop. Does the Indiana Jones game possibly move a needle for you in any way?
No.
Fair. I mean, yeah, okay, cool. All right, I'll just get move on from that then. All right, I'm excited to see what it might turn out to be. Next up is this I thought was interesting, and I picked this story because of you, Hop. Mainly was because there's been so many things that have come out through this trial, and it's been kind of fascinating to hear the highlights of these things. But one of the things in some of the documents was they were able to figure out, or they're speculating that PlayStation may be releasing a slim version of the PS5
right.
That may even be released this year, which I don't think that would be the case because they would probably have announced it by now. But
no, they got some time. And supposedly it's a redesigned version of the current PS5 digital with an optional add-on disk drive. And then that way they would only have one SKU for this year until they reveal the other bombshell, which was that supposedly they're making a PS5 Pro.
Yeah. So
and I did see that Phil Spencer went and said, he's like, well, we're not making a mid-gen refresh Series X. So we'll see if that's true, if that happens.
Yeah.
The slim thing I think is going to happen. I'm not sure about the PS5 Pro thing.
Yeah, the slim thing, I just don't know if it's going to happen this year per se. But they said supposedly at a what did they say? The bombshell, around $399 was the cost of this, which is the cost of the digital
edition. The current digital one right now.
But then they also talked about the Project Q, which is their handheld streaming device that's going to connect to the PS5, and that may be at under $300. So it was just really intriguing to see that, you know, a slim version. I know a lot of people have talked about the size of the PlayStation 5 and how
god awful it's huge it is. And it's hideous.
Yeah. So
I had mine behind the TV.
There you go. You don't want anybody knowing you got a PlayStation. Is that it?
No, it's literally won't fit anywhere else. Right. It's just, it's a,
okay. Well, that's enough about the FTC trial. We will probably find out by the time we record in the next show, because the judge did say that she plans on making a ruling in less than, or not in 2 to 3 months, but sooner than later. And again, this is just for the injunction to stop Microsoft from closing the deal, so the FTC can finish it. And I've read a ton of articles just because I'm curious about the legal aspects of things, not really caring about who's going to win, just curious about the process of it all. And it essentially delays them closing, which then could ultimately kill the deal because nobody wants to go through that. All right. So moving on to a couple more stories before we get into some community updates, and that's Friday the 13th is one of those like 4v1 kind of games, but the developer is shutting the game down mainly due to licensing, and I think we talked about it before, but they're delisting the whole game at the end of the year. I think it's like the 31st of the December it's gone. So
right, and then aren't they shutting off the servers?
I don't remember when they're shutting the servers off, but I don't know. The point that I thought was really cool about this was they are essentially boosting everybody to max level, releasing all the perks. Like, they're just saying, all right, go have fun with this game. Like, at this point, it doesn't matter anymore. Just have fun. Just enjoy it. And I think that's kind of cool. I love that when games are able to do that. And, you know, I wish a lot of other games that when they go to shut their servers down, that they would find a way to do those things as well. Like, hey, I wish Anthem did it. Like, here's everything. Don't, like, you can be whatever and just have fun. And, you know, I just think that's a really cool thing. I know that Rumbleverse did it. I know Knockout City did it. They released all their skins, and, you know, just people were having fun with the game in the last few days or months of it. So I think that's a really cool thing for a developer to do, knowing that their game is eventually going. We talked about the passing of Lance Riddick back in March when it happened, and we talked about just some of our favorite memories of the guy from film and video games as well. But, you know, recently there was a tribute that popped up in Horizon Forbidden West of a like holographic memorial with his name on it. He did play a character in the Horizon series, and he did He's love a video
major character.
Yeah. And he did you know, he's been obviously a major character in Destiny 2, and you know, it's been obviously, he was very beloved by the video game world and has many parts in it, as well as his live action film career and things of that nature. So I just thought that was really awesome. Video games continue to do great ways of honoring some of their stars and people who have put a lot of effort and time and energy into their franchises. WoW did you know, a shrine, or not shrine, but a memorial to Robin Williams, and, you know, just things like that, that are just fantastic to see happen. Then there was an interview on Game Reactor with Peter Molyneux, who was one of the founders of Lionhead Studios, which created Fable, and he had his reaction to it, and he said that he loves the way, the vibe that they're going for. It looks promising. He did saw, like, there was that very brief snippet of gameplay with the fireball being thrown, and said that it looked great. But he also noticed that the Richard Ayoade, he was thinks he's a perfect fit for that game. So it'll be really cool to see, once this game's out, what Peter Molyneux thinks of his beloved franchise that he, you know, created a long, long time ago. All right. Did you get a chance to see any of the news that came out of the Annapurna Interactive Showcase?
No, no.
All right, so there's a game that I think that they are doing from their in-house studio, Annapurna Interactive, and it's Blade Runner 2033 Labyrinth. There is no details really on it. There's just a nice little trailer that you can go check out, and it gives you the art style, the vibe of the game, and I think that might be something you might be interested in, sir. So there's that.
No, I do like Blade Runner. So
they talked about the Cocoon game that was talked about a long time ago. It'll be on Game Pass. Stray is coming to Xbox, you know, that cat game that nearly won some Game of the Year awards. So, and then many other games, most of which just weren't really my cup of tea, but Annapurna is a really cool studio or publisher that kind of, that really picks a lot of really good indie games. So, all right, sir, that's it for my news. I don't know if you had anything you want to add in there, but
the only other news I saw is that I guess there's possibly Nintendo Switch successor dev kits are out in the wild, so they're wondering if Nintendo's going to make an announcement this year, and that's kind of exciting because the Switch is starting to show its age. They definitely probably need a new machine in the next year. I'm hoping they announce something this year for the release next year. That was the only other thing I saw that was kind of hot in the news.
All right, I missed that one, but that, I mean,
just it, literally dropped the middle of the day today.
Yeah, well, it's kind of one of those things. It's like, we all know Nintendo's working on something. It's
oh, just, right. No, everybody knows, right. Right. Yeah. But it's just that, like, when, like, people get kind of, and Nintendo's notorious for somehow keeping that shit under wraps, like, better than anybody else.
Well, I mean, you don't F with Nintendo. I mean, they'll
right
copyright strike you as quickly as can be on YouTube. It's pretty wild. Yeah,
we got some. No, it's kind of slim pickings for game releases this
but
month.
But there's a couple sure doozies in there.
There's, I'm sure there's more. Let's say we got Legend of Heroes for PC, PlayStation, and Switch July 7th. Oxenfree 2, PC, PlayStation, and Switch July 12th.
Oxenfree 1 was a really good game. I'm kind of bummed it's not on Xbox, at least not yet.
Yeah, let's see. How do you say this? Atelier Marie, The Alchemist of Salberg Remake. I don't even heard of this shit. PC, PlayStation, and Switch, July 13th. Exo Primal from Capcom.
Yep.
That's PC, PlayStation, Xbox. And that also hits Game Pass, I think, day
yes,
one.
Yes, it is. And there's some Street Fighter skins for it, too.
I saw that. That's kind of weird. Pikmin 4 for the Switch, July 21st, and a lot of people are looking forward to that. Remnant 2, I know that you were looking forward to this one.
Yep.
PlayStation, PC, Xbox, July 25th. The Expanse, a Telltale series. Wow, that's going to be really popular. PC, PlayStation, Xbox, July 27th. And then Disney's Illusion Island, a Switch exclusive, July 28th.
Yeah, I've not heard great things about the new Telltale studio, like they did that Borderlands one, and
that wasn't them.
I thought that was them.
No, that was it that I thought it was a whole different team. It was like a weird,
are you looking it up?
Weird team. Yeah, I'm looking
okay
it up.
Yeah, so I thought it was them, but if I'm wrong, I will gladly accept that. But it was, you know, I feel like that was the first game they did coming back, but I could be completely wrong. Maybe there's another game that I'm missing, but I feel like whatever game they did, it kind of, a lot of people were pretty much stating like they didn't really have the same magic that the original.
Yeah, it's a Gearbox. The new Tales from the Borderlands isn't even a Telltale.
Okay.
Anything, it was Gearbox Studio Québécois.
Okay.
So. Right.
Maybe that's it. Maybe
yeah,
that's
I was why. Like, and it's pretty much gotten pretty bad reviews from everybody.
And that's a bummer, because the first Tales from the Borderlands is awesome. And even
At half off, I've like avoided buying it because I've seen so many bad reviews, and I'm a huge Borderlands fan, and I loved the first Tales of the Borderlands that was by Telltale Games.
Yeah. No, that was fantastic. The soundtrack of that game is still one of my favorites. All right. Well, sir, you still got Fight Club going on? You guys punch kicking with Street Fighter VI? Tell me more about it.
Yeah. We had a good time. We had PC, PlayStation, and Xbox players all jamming on the Tag Discord voice channel. So come to the Tag Discord, check out the Fight Club channel, join the Fight Club role. Once you're there, make sure you link your console or if you're on PC, you don't need to worry about linking. But if you're on a console, link your Discord to your PlayStation or Xbox account. That way you can join right from your PlayStation or Xbox to the Tag Street Fighter 6 voice chat, because there is no voice chat in that game, and it's a good time.
All right,
come check us out.
And then tomorrow is the first Thursday of the month, which means it will be our official Halo night, even though last Thursday we got some Halo on as well and had a good time. So come join us. Anthem, myself, B Daddy have been Are You Dead's been there quite a bit. It's been a good time. We've had fun chatting and pew-pewing the other Spartans and trying out the new maps that are there and some of the new modes. We played Infection a couple times, and we had some good laughs with that. So we had some pretty awesome wins that we, you know, it's, what's the quote? From the clutches of defeat or something of that nature. Like, we snatched victory from the clutches of defeat. I don't know, but it was great. We had some really awesome matches. B-Daddy took some clips, and I took a ride for a pelican to my death as well. That was a little frustrating. But either way, Halo Night, first Thursday, maybe a couple other Thursdays sprinkled throughout the month. All right, Hop. Last episode, me and you were talking about the Summer Game Fest, what we liked about it, you know, things coming out the rest of this year. And I pose the question to you, is 2023 a contender for best year in gaming? And, you know, we kind of briefly discussed it for a moment there, but I said, let's put a pin in it. Let's come back to it this episode and really chat about it. Really take a dive deep into some of our favorite years in gaming and then kind of chalk 2023 up to that. So I'm going to first pose to you, what are some of your fondest years of gaming that you can think of? You know, I did share a link with you to a website called Den of Geek, and they posted 20 of the best years. Mm-hmm. There's some really good years out there that I was looking back. I was like, oh, shit, that game did release that year. Or those several games did release all in that same 12-month period. That's pretty wild. So, all right, give me some of your favorite years that you can recall, or you know, that you were reminded of.
Damn, these 2 years back to back is pretty hot. 96 and 97, shit, that was some good shit those years. Yeah. 96 was Mario 64, the original Resident Evil, the original Diablo, Elder Scrolls Daggerfall, the first game in the series. Mm-hmm. Super Mario RPG, Donkey Kong Country 3. 97 was GoldenEye, Castlevania Symphony of the Night, Final Fantasy VII, Mario Kart 64, and the original Fallout. And then you also had Parappa the Rappa that year. Shit, that's crazy.
I mean, it's hard to like narrow down like a few years that are just, you know, banger after banger after banger, right?
Yeah, 2000's another banger year with Diablo 2, Baldur's Gate 2. There's just but I think this year there's a lot of good shit coming out this year. A
Yeah.
lot.
I would still say probably
It's
one of
been the
my.
best in a while because we've had a couple years of kind of slim pickings.
True. I would say 2007, still one of my overall favorite years. I mean, yeah, Portal, the original Call of Duty 4, Modern Warfare, Halo 3. You have Mass Effect that also released, Super Mario Galaxy, BioShock. It just like hit
Oh, dude,
game after game.
2001, Halo, Grand Theft Auto 3, Super Smash Bros. Melee, Metal Gear Solid 2, Devil May Cry, and Final Fantasy X all came out that year. Jesus Christ. That's kind of hot. That's and Dead or Alive 3, Return to Castle Wolfenstein,
Oh,
Alien
yeah.
versus Predator 2. Shit, that was a good year. Rogue Squadron 2.
All right, how about this? 2004, Halo 2, Half-Life 2, Metroid Prime 2, Metal Gear Solid 3, World of Warcraft, GTA San Andreas, Star Wars Knight of the Old Republic 2,
Yeah. That's another good one.
as well as
Oh, yeah.
Counter-Strike Source, Killzone, The Legend of Zelda, Dimension Cap, I don't know about that one. But just a ton of games. In that year, there are oh, The Escape from Butcher Bay, Chronicles of Riddick also came out that year. Ninja Gaiden and Burnout 3 Takedown. That was a
Take
fantastic.
down, dude. Oh my God. We used to sometimes get together on a Friday night, fire that up on the Xbox, get a 12 pack and just see who could make the most fucking crazy crashes and just laugh all night. It was so much fun.
That was like a game that. The magic just never came back. I felt like it's easy.
No, they never made a Burnout game as fun as that. In my, if for me, anyway. Yeah, nothing came close to that game.
All right, so we have a 92. All right, so that one had Super Mario Kart, which you gotta admit, like, was a game changer in a lot of ways. Wolfenstein 3D.
Oh yeah, dude. Oh
Mortal
yeah.
Kombat, the original, which is
Yeah.
awesome. Contra 3, Sonic the Hedgehog 2, as well as the Western release of A Link to the Past, Zelda. And, that was a pretty stacked year for 92. And then thinking, 21 years later, we're getting, or not 21 years later, sorry, 31 years later, we're getting Mortal Kombat 1, right? So, it's insane to think there's just so many really good years of video games out there. And we were talking before the show, I was just like looking back at some of these years, I didn't know it at the time that these games were going to be amazing games. I didn't know that the Metro series was going to be fantastic until almost 5 years after
Right.
the first two games released. So that was a trip for me. The you were mentioning that BioShock games, like you played them all recently, the Metro games, you played them recently. So all these games, hindsight is obviously going to be king. So my question to you is, in 20 years or 10 years, will we look back at 2023 and say, hey,
That was a banger of a
2023
year.
was one of the best
I
years in
think
gaming?
so.
I mean,
Yeah.
I'm just going to do a list that I put together, and I may miss things, and that's perfectly fine. But you have Zelda Tears of the Kingdom, Final Fantasy 16, Hi-Fi Rush, Diablo 4, Street Fighter 6, Jedi Survivor. You have the two big remakes, Dead Space and Resident Evil 4, Hogwarts Legacy, Wolong Fallen Dynasty, Dead Island 2. And those are just the games that I know that I think make this year already great that have come out. Here are the games that are still yet to come. And I'm going to skip these first two, but Lies of P, X Defiant, Super Mario Brothers Wonder, Baldur's Gate 3, Mortal Kombat 1, Tekken 8, the year of fighting games, essentially, Alan Wake 2, Forza Motorsport Reboot. And then you have these final two games that are going to be probably very big contenders and the with Zelda Tears of the Kingdom for Game of the Year, but that's Spider-Man 2 and Starfield from Bethesda, which is already being touted as a game of the generation by some people, which I think is dumb. I mean, I think it's going to be fantastic, and it may very well be a game of the generation, but my point is...
All I know is with all of these games, I don't have time to... I'm playing games from like 2 or 3 years ago right now. It's going to be another year before I play half of these. Like,
oh, yeah. I mean,
I haven't even played Jedi Survivor yet because I've been waiting for a sale.
Yeah.
Same with Final Fantasy 16. I'm waiting for a sale. I never played Breath of the Wild. I don't know if I'll get around to Tears of the Kingdom. I'm secretly hoping and crossing my fingers Nintendo's new machine will be backwards compatible and magically make those games run a little bit better.
You think Nintendo's going to do that?
No, I don't. I honestly don't. I think they're going to do something stupid, but I'm hoping. RE4 was amazing. Oh my God, they did such a good job with that. I'd like to check out that Dead Space remake. Dead Island 2, I'd like to play at some point. I'm really looking forward to Starfield. Spider-Man 2 probably will wait 6 months because I haven't even played Miles Morales yet. Baldur's Gate 3 is another one that I'm interested in. I'm kind of waiting to see how it comes out. I don't know if I have the patience to do one of those slow kind of tabletop kind of simulator RPG games like that. I almost bought the Baldur's Gate 1 and 2, and after I watched a video of it again, I was like, oh yeah, no, I don't want to do that. I was like, it was cool when I was, you know, 20, but not anymore.
I haven't seen anything about Baldur's Gate 3. Is it going to be very similar to the tabletop style game, like Neverwinter?
I don't know, but I know, you know, I think under the hood, it's running on D&D 5e. I don't know if it's full turn-based, if it's more of action RPG.
Because I know Dark Alliance was just a hack and slash. So
right. No, I'm talking about the original, because they've released the original 1 and 2 on Xbox now, and I almost bought those when they were on sale, but then when I went and watched some YouTube videos, I was like, oh yeah, no, I played these on PC way back in the day. I'm good.
Okay.
I don't know.
But either way,
yeah,
I mean...
But fighting game fans, we're
eating.
Getting spoiled this year. Yeah. Oh yeah, no, we're not eating. We're a full on at the buffet.
Yeah, it's just straight up Las Vegas buffet for you guys. That's for sure.
Well, and between, so we got SF6 and Mortal Kombat 1's coming, Tekken 8's coming, and they've updated King of Fighters for full cross play on all platforms with an extra free character. They're supposed to do a big update to Samurai Showdown with cross play. It's a crazy good time to be a fighting game fan.
I mean, it's just, there is a game for you,
for everybody,
like
or two or three.
I mean, Hogwarts Legacy,
games we just named.
Yeah,
that was a runaway hit.
It's not a game for me necessarily, and I know there's been a lot of people.
I mean, I like the movies, and you know they're fun, but I'm really not interested in playing the game.
But like I've seen people who have no interest in the wizardy world of Harry Potter, and they've dove headfirst into this game and had a blast with it. So, I mean. That, again, like, I rambled off, what, like, 10 games, a dozen games right there in the beginning that were just already released, and then there's another almost dozen games that are pretty high up there. I mean, we mentioned in the games releasing this month, we have Remnant 2, which is, like, a personal highlight for me because I love the first one so much, and there's no telling, like, you know, what that may be, but, you know, for me... This year is just stacking up more and more and more with games that just I'm enjoying and having fun with. And I do think that 5-10 years from now, if we pull up Den of Geek, the website I shared earlier, and pull up their best years in gaming, somewhere in that top 20 list will probably be 2023. And I think you also hit the nail on the head earlier in the conversation. You said, the last few years have been just kind of meh in gaming, right?
Yeah.
I mean, rightfully so.
Well, we had the pandemic didn't help anything.
Yeah. Then, you know, and I'm not saying like anything, hey, how dare they not do anything in the last 2 years and have these banger after banger. I mean, a lot of this is, you know, delays, pushed back into 2023, and here we go. Here we are.
Yeah, right? Starfield was supposed to be last year.
Yeah, it's supposed to be like, I mean, hell, like, there was reports that it was even supposed to be earlier than that, when it was going to be a multi-plat game and all that stuff. So, it's just, 2023 is looking great, and if Starfield hits, Spider-Man hits, and any of these other games I talked about, Forza, Mortal Kombat, you know, if they hit...
Oh, the rest of this list? Yeah, I think these are all going to do really well. I think the ones that are probably going to be... I mean, Spider-Man 2 will probably be the biggest PlayStation release this year besides Final Fantasy 16. I feel like Starfield may be the biggest release this year, because everybody's been waiting for it and everybody's excited for sure. I think Mortal Kombat 1 and Tekken 8 are going to make some strides. Forza Motorsport looks amazing.
Yeah, I mean, it's just like I'm saying, my point is, if any of these games hit with what you already have, you can't argue that 2023 may be considered one of the best games, gaming years altogether. And, you know, I just hope we don't get hit with a letdown of 2024, you know? Like, that is kind of, man, look at all these great games that we got in 2023, and then all of a sudden people are like, man, 2024 sucks balls because there's no games coming out, or the games live up.
I guarantee you 2024 will not suck balls. You know why?
Why?
You know what we're going to get in 2024?
I have a feeling I know what you're going to say, but I'm going to just let you have the moment if it is what I think it is. What is it?
We're getting a new Black Ops game in 2024.
Oh, I thought you were going to go another Borderlands movie reference, but okay.
No. But we're getting a new Treyarch-made Black Ops game with zombies.
But you got to wait a whole year for that, sir.
I know, but I'm just saying, that's 2024 is already... I'm like excited just for that, because... Okay, Mixwitch and I were just talking, and we're both like, yeah, we're both not into Infinity Ward or Sledgehammer. We basically decided we really just like Treyarch's games, and that's why we like Dex Defiant, because it reminded us of a Treyarch game.
All right. Well, I mean, we've talked about it before. There's a lot of really great things on the burner, and it'll just be interesting to see what happens with a lot of these things. And I'm excited for what 2024 has penciled in. I don't want to say written in ink, because as we know, video games should be delayed if they need to be delayed. But I'll be excited to see what happens as time goes on. Now, again, I think we've come to a consensus. This year has been phenomenal for gaming. There's a little bit for everybody, and there are several games that I didn't even mention because I don't even know what the hell they are, but people are playing the hell out of them because that's what they're into, and that's fantastic, and I give them props for it. So I think that this has been a wonderful year. And the other side of the coin, Hop, I didn't even mention, like, is so many games have received some very quality updates to them. Like I mentioned earlier, Hunt Showdown, there was a really awesome update that has been very revitalizing. The game went from, they beat their monthly or their, what's the Steam concurrent player. They went like, they beat it by like 5,000 to 10,000 players on Steam with this update. So like there's games getting nice quality updates. Halo Infinite continues to get updates. I've talked about several times on the show. The game is in its best state. It should have been near launch, maybe not necessarily at launch, but as a lot closer to launch than, you know, 2 years later. But it's getting updates. You know, Sea of Thieves is getting another massive update. There's just a lot of games getting updates that are wonderful. We have, you know, I know Warzone technically came out last year, right? But
oh yeah, 2022,
like Modern Warfare tail end, yeah. So
yeah,
you know, but like, you know, you're still seeing a lot of these big studios drop really big quality updates to their games, and And I'm just excited. Gaming is in its best place as it is, has ever been. I mean, hell, if that's one thing we can take out of this FTC trial or this Microsoft buying Activision, is we can see that gaming is clearly a huge chunk of money spent across the world. I mean, it takes...
Yeah, it's creating jobs, it's moving the economy, it's entertaining people.
And it's definitely a really cool thing. So, all right, man. Well, any final thoughts about the year 2023 and the video games? No, man.
I'm just saying, like, I'm sure we'll be talking about quite a few of these games for the next couple years. I mean, we still talk about games from 19... I still talk about games from the 80s and 90s because they were classic, and some games are timeless, and I'm sure some of these games in 2023 are going to live up to that timeless.
Yep.
Or they'll be so well known because they inspired a new genre, a new development team, or a new style of gaming or something, you know, spiritually. We'll see. But yeah, it's good shit.
All right, man. Well... Sir, go ahead and plug yourself, talk about things, or give some well wishes if you'd like.
Well, come check me out at theadultgamer.com. I play multiplayer on Xbox, mainly on PlayStation. I'm playing single player games. You can also check out my podcast, The Retro Futures Culture. It's over on Ruminations Radio. And look them up on Google. They have lots of cool shows. And check out our friends Oh God It Hurts over there on Ruminations Radio. They talk a lot about Nintendo and cool stuff.
Yeah, they just dropped a new episode that I've been itching to listen to. I'll throw it on when I'm getting the suds on in the shower. You know, that's when I do most of my podcast listening these days. Like, you know, a little too much information for all you people out there, but I don't care. Yeah. I am the Fenrir765 on Twitter, or Fenrir, or Finn now. It's just Finn on Discord. I, you know, updated my username, you know, to Fenrir765, but I just go by Finn. Anyways, you can find me there, and I love to talk about games. If you are interested in jumping into the Bayou, I am always down for new hunters. It's on sale right now on Xbox for pretty dirt cheap. Maybe Mr. Fett will join me into the swamp sometime again in the future. But other than that, we are the Tagcast. I am Finn, he's Hop, and you can find us at theadultgamer.com. But until next time, we'll catch you guys
until we live stream the Borderlands movie together.
One day it will happen. It will happen. And it will be glorious. But until then, we'll catch you on the flippity flip.